Thank you for coming. If you will, please join me in the call to worship. The trumpet of the Lord sounds, calling us to examine our souls. The trumpet of the Lord sounds, calling us to mend our ways. The trumpet of the Lord sounds, calling us to rend our hearts. O come, let us worship the Lord, and let us pray. We've gathered here, loving God, to mark the season of Lent, to begin that journey to the cross and ultimately to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've gathered here to repent of our sins publicly and privately. We've gathered here to be in the presence of one another where we can draw strength, knowing that wherever two or three are gathered, you are present among us. Our prayer is you would guide us throughout these 40 days as we journey deeper into your embrace, as we journey to the cross. Let us put to death those things that separate us from each other and from you. May we know that your presence is always with us. The power of your transformative love is within us. And may we know your grace surrounds us and is beyond us. So God, our Father, help us to see that your merciful love is with us always, even when we wander far from you. We ask you this evening to change our hearts that we might become even better followers of your Son, Jesus. And with the help of your grace, may our prayers and sacrifices over the next 40 days lead us to welcome him in each other, in the poor, sick, and the lonely, so that together we can greet him as one family at Easter. We make this prayer in the name of Jesus, our companion on this journey of faith, who with you and the Holy Spirit is one God, now and forever. Amen. If you will, please take your hymnal, stand if you're able. Let's sing hymn 81, Lord, Who Throughout These 40 Days, hymn 81. May be seated. want you to know we have moments of silence in the service for you to pray, to listen to God. Also want you to know that the white piece of paper found in your bulletin that says Psalm 32, happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, are there for those of you that if you want in your moments of silent meditation, if you want to list a sin you struggle with, if you want to list sins that you wish God to forgive, if there's anything that might be between you and God, you can write that down and nobody has to see it. You're not going to show it to anybody. It's between you and the Lord. But at the conclusion of worship, when you depart, you can drop it in the fire outside, and that's to remind you that our sins have been dealt with, thanks be to Jesus Christ. They are taken care of, and we can leave them behind as we go forth to serve the Lord in freedom and in joy. So I encourage you, if you want to grab one of the pencils that's there in the pew and write that down sometime during the service, feel free. For some, I hope that's a large enough sheet of paper. But do as you might. But dearly beloved, we've come together this evening in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we've received at God's hands, to set forth God's most worthy praise, to hear God's holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation. And so that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship the Lord, let us keep silence and with penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins, that we may obtain forgiveness by God's infinite goodness and mercy. Please join me. Almighty and most merciful Father, we've erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We've broken your holy laws. We've left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared unto humanity in Christ Jesus our Lord. Grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. May the Almighty and merciful Lord grant us absolution and remission of all our sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of His Holy Spirit. Amen. And in response to this good news that we are indeed God's forgiven people, let us rise to our feet and praise the Lord by singing together the Gloria Patri. Threw me off. Be seated. If you would, I encourage you to take the pew Bible that is there in the pew and turn to Psalm 51, and we will read the first 17 verses responsively. So if you want to turn to page 520 in your pew Bible, Psalm 51, we will read responsively verse 1 through 17. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have... Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Amen. man had a heart attack and was in the hospital, and a minister went to go see him at the urging of his family. And the minister tried to witness to the man and tell the man that his sins needed forgiven. And as they talked, the minister looked at the patient and he said, "When you had your heart attack, didn't all your sins flash before your eyes?" And the guy said, "Well, Father, don't you know the heart attack only lasted 6 minutes?" I share that with you because I don't know whether the guy received the Lord or not, but he at least in that comment recognized that he fell short and probably missed the mark quite often. Sometimes we may not like talking about our sin or hear that we are sinners, but even here in this Joel story, what we hear is God is slow to anger, God is merciful, God is abounding in steadfast love, and he wants to save his people. But what's amazing about Joel is the people have had this plague of locusts. They've come out of the sky like an army and have just devoured crops, everything. The land is a wasteland, and yet the people don't really understand why they're in such bad shape. And Joel's trying to say, don't you know, you have forgotten God. You need salvation, but the whole problem is you're not even considering what's going on and turning to your greatest source of help. So you need to blow the trumpets like a guard who stands posted on the wall and sees the enemy coming from far away. You need to gather the people together. And you need to rend not your garments, don't tear your clothing. That can just be a ritual. Open your heart to God. Rend your heart, not your garments, because God's not playing around. So please consider what's going on and open your hearts to the Lord. And so in chapter 2, he says, "Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, it is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes, their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Fire devours in front of them, and behind them a flame burns. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden, but after them a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. They have the appearance of horses, and like war horses they charge. As with the rumbling of chariots, they leap on the tops of the mountains, like the crackling of a flame of fire devouring the stubble, like a powerful army drawn up for battle. Before them, peoples are in anguish, all faces grow pale. Like warriors, they charge, like soldiers, they scale the wall. Each keeps to its own course, they do not swerve from their paths. They do not jostle one another, each keeps to its own track. They burst through the weapons and are not halted. They leap upon the city, they run upon the walls, they climb up into the houses, they enter through the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord utters his voice at the head of his army. How vast is his host! Numberless are those who obey his command. Truly, the day of the Lord is great, terrible indeed. Who can endure it? Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly and gather the people. Sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading from Matthew 6 is similar in that Jesus says, religious practice or ritual can become empty, especially if it's just done for show, for others to take notice. What God really wants, or what God cares about most, is in your heart. Now, we will in a moment have ashes on our foreheads, those of you that wish. It's an outward sign, but it points to something important, and that's the fact that whether you wipe the cross off when you get home, or whether it fades away by morning, or you wash it off when you wash your face, God wants the cross to dwell in your heart, to remember of how far God's love would go to save you and make you his people. And so, yes, tonight we'll do the outward symbol, but it's to remind us that inwardly what God wants is that cross in our hearts. So Jesus, when he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, said, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then in verse 16, whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that you're fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. the back of the bulletin, we'll begin the prayers and then the imposition of ashes. And when we get to that part where it says receiving the ashes, you may can come forward whenever you like, if you like, and I will put the sign of the cross with the ashes on your forehead. And you know, the sign of the cross is to remind us that just as God had a purpose for Jesus Christ, he calls us to join him in that same purpose. That as we experience God's forgiveness and celebrate the love that brings it, we are to go out and share it with others. As those who have been made right with the Lord, who are at peace with God, we also need to go out not only loving the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength, but to love our neighbors as ourselves, because we know what a joy it is to have this unconditional love of God. I always say, you are from dust, and to dust you shall return, quoting a passage in Genesis. But that too reminds us that just as God created us and gave us life, we are dependent on God every day for our breath, even into eternity. So as you come forward for the sign of the cross, remember that God wants the cross to live in your heart so that you can live as people of the cross who continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. Join me. Almighty God, you've created us out of the dust of the earth. And may these ashes be for us a sign of our mortality and penitence, and a reminder that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Jesus,
Son of God,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Lead us, O God, by the power of your Spirit, to live as the Lord requires. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ until this mortal life is ended. Grant us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection. God of compassion, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you reconciled your people to yourself. Whenever you're ready, you may come forward if you would like the imposition of ashes. Accomplish in us, O God, the work of your salvation. By the cross and passion of our Savior, and God, we ask that you would bless us this day as we continue to follow Jesus Christ to his cross. Come to this place and remember your covenant with us. Remember the promises you made with us mere mortals to remain with us despite our dust. Shower your Spirit upon us because we need direction on this long road ahead. Care for us, your children, as we weather this winding road, following the faithful path of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would save us, O God, from the blindness which is not even aware that it is sinning, from the pride which cannot admit that it is wrong, from the self-will, which can see nothing but its own way, from the self-righteousness, which can see no flaw within itself, from the callousness, which has sinned so often that it has ceased to care, from the defiance, which is not even sorry for its sins, from the evasion, which always puts the blame on someone or something else, from the heart so hardened that it cannot repent. Give us at all times eyes which are open to our faults, a conscience which is sensitive and quick to warn, a heart that cannot sin in peace, but is moved to regret and remorse. And so, God, may we remember the power of sin and death are forever ended, hung upon a cross and crucified. God, may we remember the bread of life broken for us, that we may eat and be filled with abundance of life. God, we remember it was your blood poured out for us, the deep wounds of love suffered for us. God, may we remember ashes on foreheads and kneel before the one whose love knows no end with humbled hearts and repentant spirits. God, may we indeed remember that we are but dust and walk together into tomorrow's unknowns, breaking barriers, building bridges, and setting captives free. God, may we remember and give thanks. And as we do, let us take up our cross and follow, believing that in Christ all things work together for good. May we remember and give thanks as we prepare for our celebration of Easter once again, as we approach you praying together the way in which Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I want you to know that in a moment I'll give you benediction. And you can stay and pray if you want. Whenever you're ready, you may depart. If you filled out that card where you listed a sin or sins, when you go out, you can drop it into the fire. And see, we have that because in Romans chapter 6, Paul says, when you are in Jesus Christ, when your life is in Him, when he died, that means you died. When the world's sin, our sin, was put on him and he died, that sin, our sin, died with him. But Paul goes on to say, but when Jesus rose, we, being in him, rose with him. And you see, our sin is left there dead and buried in a grave. It is not to get up and follow us around anymore because it has been dealt with. It is to be considered dead. And now we are free. Even if temptation comes and we stumble, we are free to say yes to God. Where once sin was our master and the only thing we could do is continue